So, as many of you may or may not know, we have a mitzvah coming up on Yom Kippur to fast. So, to complement that that mitzvah, we also have a mitzvah on Erev Yom Kippur, the day before, to eat. So, the question is, what's this whole mitzvah of eating? Where do we get a specific mitzvah that we're allowed to go ahead and now eat food? I mean, we know that we have specific sudas, like for Yontif or for Shabbos, but really, it seems that from the mitzvah of Erev Yom Kippur that we're allowed to go ahead and eat the entire day, and we get a mitzvah for it. So it's a pretty easy mitzvah. We're going to eat anyways. So what's the idea behind this mitzvah? So everyone open up their packet. We have in source 1 in Vayikra, Perachaf Gimel, Pasuk Lam Beis, we have a pasuk that tells us, Shabbat Shabbason Hu Lachem. And Shabbat Shabbason, we know that the Shabbos of all Shabbos is Yom Kippur, because even though Yom Kippur could fall on Shabbos like it does this year, we still have an obligation to fast, even though generally we're not supposed to fast on Shabbos. But Yom Kippur is the Shabbos Shabbason, the Pasuk tells us. Ve'anisem es nafsho seichem, and we should inflict our souls, or inflict our bodies. How do we do that? We do that through fasting. But then the Pasuk continues, says, B'tisha lechodesh ba'erev, me'erev ad erev tishbesu shabbatchem. They were supposed to inflict our souls when? On the 9th of the month of Tishrei. And we know that Yom Kippur is really on the 10th of Tishrei. So what's this idea of saying, the Pasuk telling us, Be'anisem enafsho seichem? So at first glance, we would assume, what does that mean? That the Pasuk's telling us that not only do we have to fast on the 10th, which is on Yom Kippur of Tishrei, we also have to fast on the 9th of Tishrei, which is Erev Yom Kippur. But as we know, that's not what we do. We don't fast both on Erev Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur. So what's the idea? Why don't we? It seems from the pasuk at first glance that would be the conditions. But now we go to source 2. We have a Gemara where it's quoted in a few sources. Quoted in, but here we're quoting Talmud Bavli Maseches Brachos Daf Chesam and Beis in source 2. It says Tanale Chia Bar Rav Midafte Kesiv Be'avinisem Es Nafsho Seichem B'Tisha Lechodesh Me'erev. And he asks the question. He says, when we say that you're supposed to inflict yourselves on the 9th of the month, does that mean we're supposed to do it by fasting on the 9th? He says, we know that we fast on the 10th of the month. So how could it be that we're supposed to fast also on the 9th of the month? It says that rather what we do is, it teaches us that you're supposed to eat on the 9th. And by eating on the 9th of the month, eating on Erev Yom Kippur, it's as if you fasted on both the 9th and the 10th. So that's if you look at the Pasuk in Source 1, it's a little strange that now something Gemara is darshaning out, it's explaining out a totally different understanding. We at first glance would assume that you're supposed to fast, but it seems that it's saying actually by eating, you're going to go ahead and allow yourself to consider it as if you fasted both on the 9th and the 10th. So we want to explore why that would be, what's the purpose of this whole mitzvah of eating through that would cause us to all of a sudden get as if we are fasting as well in the night. Well, to the Talmud Yerushalmi in Source 3 brings up the reasoning behind why we should not fast on the ninth. Because if you look at the pasuk, like we said at first glance, that we should go ahead and we should fast on the ninth. However, and if you look at the Yerushalmi in Source 3, it says specifically that what happened was with this guy, Bar Abuye de Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak, Chashar Garmei Bitsam Trin Yom. He went ahead and he fasted 2 straight days. Meaning he would have, let's say if it was Yom Kippur, he would have fasted on the 9th and the 10th. Ifskik Barua Karucha Vidimecha. And what happened to him? He died. So, based off this Yerushalmi, the Mefarshim point out that that means that we shouldn't fast ourselves 2 days. That God is not going to make us fast 2 days in a row. So therefore, it can't be that Pasuk is telling us that we're supposed to fast. It has to be just like Gemara in Source 2 is telling us that it must be something else. How do we go ahead and consider ourselves via Nisim and Nasho Seichem, inflicting our souls on the ninth? We go ahead by fasting, and through fasting, as if we're going ahead and we fasted, we go ahead and we eat, and through eating, it's as if we fasted on both the ninth and the tenth.
What
so,
speaking
of speak the Yoma for what?
We're as a goalist that we don't know.
Oh, whether or not. Okay, that's a different discussion. You mean that on Yom Kippur that we should go ahead and push it off to and hold 2 days of fasting on Yom Kippur. So that this Gemara would be a source for as to why we don't have 2 days in Chutz La'aretz. And furthermore, the whole reason for the Sfeika de Yoma of Chutz La'aretz for us holding 2 days, let's say, of Sukkot or 2 days of Pesach, is because we didn't know when the moon started. It by the time the Rosh Chodesh came, by the time we received, the people that were outside of Eretz Yisrael, the memo that it was Rosh Chodesh, it was already as if it was nighttime, and we would have had to keep 2 days anyways. Whereas we already had, everyone knows when it's Rosh Hashanah. 10 days later is Yom Kippur. So since 10 days later is Yom Kippur, all you gotta do is count 10 days. And then we're all good. So therefore, there's no such thing as Sefer Yoma based off both this Gemara and this Yerushalmi in Source 3, and based off that idea also that we could just count 10 days later and everyone's going to know, even people in Chutz La'aretz, when exactly the time period for it to happen is going to be. So now I want to bring into the discussion now, what is the purpose of this eating? Is this purpose of this eating for us to prepare ourselves for the fast and therefore have enough energy to go ahead and be able to fast properly? Or is there another idea behind why we're supposed to eat on the first, on the ninth of and then get a mitzvah for it? So we have, in source four, we have Rashi, who understands this Gemara to mean, Ma'alav ha-kosu v'haki kamar kra chinu atzmechem b'tishla chodesh le'inoi ha-mecheres v'harihu b'einoi ke'inoi hayom. He holds that the whole reason for you to go ahead and eat is because we're supposed to have this inoy. How do we do that? We're preparing ourselves for the fasting through eating up a lot and going ahead and having a lot of food. We will enable ourselves to be very strong and be able to go through the entire Yom Kippur, where it's a long day, and especially a day where we're supposed to focus on tshuva and repenting to Hashem. We'll be able to go ahead and have enough koach and strength to go ahead and do that. So that's Rashi's idea, which I actually heard, interesting enough, that Rav Nevensol believes that, according to Rav Nevensol, is a big rav in Yerushalayim. Some may say he's the gadol in Yerushalayim. He holds that the idea behind why specifically Rashi wants you to go ahead and eat is that you'll have enough koach to get through the Yom Kippur tefilos, that you'll be able to withstand, and you'll have so much food inside you that you won't feel hungry at all during Yom Kippur, because you'll be able to go ahead and daven and focus. Okay, so that's idea number one is Rashi. Now, if you turn the page to we have source five, where I put in this Meiri, because this Meiri, who was his name was Rav Menachem Meiri. He lived in the 13th century. He was a Rishon, and he lived in Spain. So he has an interesting idea as to why the ninth, eating on the ninth, is as if you are considered fasting on the ninth as well. So he says, if you look at source 5 on page 2, Kol ha'osa davar al dasha sibas osa davar diskayim mitzvah harehu. Kamisha asa mitzvah shekena ocha v'shosha v'tishi kadisha sheyecholos anos b'asiri. He's saying that any time you do something that's enabling you or causing you to do another mitzvah, it's as if you did that very mitzvah. So that would mean, according to what the Meiri is saying, that when I'm cooking for Shabbos, or I'm preparing, let's say, I'm getting dressed for Shabbos, that is as if I kept Shabbos. That's it. That me preparation for a mitzvah, or to enable myself in order to do that very mitzvah, as if I did that very mitzvah. And that's how he's explaining this idea of why we have a specific mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, because through eating on Erev Yom Kippur, we're giving ourselves the strength to be able to fast, and therefore we're going to go ahead and it's as if we fasted on Yom Kippur as well. So I think that this Meiri blends well with what Rashi was saying, that the whole purpose of the eating on Yom Kippur is in order for us to go ahead and fast on Yom Kippur. Here's a sheet here for
you. Thank you.
Okay, so that's Rashi. Now we have the Shiboleh Halekit, who was also a Rishon. He lived in Rome in the 13th century. His name is Tzidkiyahu ben Avraham, and he pointed out the exact opposite of Rashi. What did Rashi say? Rashi said that the whole reason why we want you to fast, I want you to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, is because we want you to be able to prepare for the fast and give you the strength for the fast. So rather, the Shiboleh Halekit, if you look at source 6, he points out Rabbeinu Yeshayahu is
Yom Kippurim, Yom Kippurim, Misana Kasha Lo Inoy Yoter.
He's bothered by it because the pasuk says that we're supposed to be nisim etznafsho sheichim, inflict our souls. He says that by eating so much on Erev Yom Kippur, you're going to stuff yourself and you're going to get a bellyache and you're going to feel sick to because you ate so much, that mitzvah is going to now make you have your fast on Yom Kippur be even harder. So he's the opposite of Rashi. Rashi says the whole purpose of eating is to give you the strength on Yom Kippur to be able to fast. Whereas Shibboleth Lekhet says, no, the mitzvah is that Hashem wants you to eat and stuff yourself on Erev Yom Kippur because that will make you have a bellyache and make you not have the full strength and make you feel the pain of Yom Kippur, make it even harder, because not only fasting, but even through that. So that's an interesting idea, just of the better understanding of what this mitzvah is all about. If you hold like Rashi, then it's for to get Hashem's doing it out of Ava. He's giving it out of love. He wants us to be able to go through Yom Kippur. It's hard enough that Yom Kippur is the only day min haTorah. It's the only day that Hashem makes us fast. All the other fasts are all derabanan because we have a specific pesukim in Yom Kippur. Tisha B'Av happened after the Torah was written, so therefore that's not min haTorah. But Yom Kippur is the only day where Hashem makes us fast. So here he's giving us a mitzvah. He's handing us a mitzvah according to Rashi in order to give us the koach. But the Shibboleth Lekhet, he says a different idea. He says, no, it's not to make us have the fast. Either it's make the fast even harder because we ate too much. That's the second approach. Then the Shari Tshuva, the Rabbeinu Yonah, in Source 7, he explains it a totally different way for why this mitzvah exists. He explains in two ways, but we're going to focus on the main idea. The first one that he explains, we're just going to say outside, is that he holds that we're eating so much on Erev Yom Kippur is because we're so excited that Yom Kippur is coming, and we're so excited that now Hashem gave us the opportunity to annul all our sins, that we're celebrating already. And not only that we're celebrating, is that we're not scared on Erev Yom Kippur that Hashem's not going to annul our sins. We know that Hashem's so great that he's going to remove all our sins. He's going to give us kapara. He's going to give us atonement. That we're the day before, we're going to stuff ourselves and celebrate by eating and having a suda. That's his first answer. His second answer, if you look in the second paragraph in Source 7, Vashenis ki b'shar yamim tovim anachnu kovim suda l'simchas hamitzvah ki yigdal v'yisagam me'od schar hasimcha l'mitzvah k'mo sh'ne'emar v'atam michem nimtzau pever isi b'simcha l'his nadav l'cha v'ne'emar titachas asher lo avodas es Hashem elokecha b'simcha uv'tov l'viv u'bnei sh'atzom b'yom ha-kipurim nischayim l'kfo suda al simchas hamitzvah b'erev yom ha-kipurim. He says on every single holiday we have a sudas Yomtif. We have a Sudas Mitzvah, right? That's on it. Sukkis, we're required to go out and eat in the Sukkah, and we have to have Suda. Shabbos, we're required to go out and eat, we have a Suda. We have lunch, we have dinner, we have Shalosh Shudas. We also have on Pesach, we have a Suda. So, Rosh Hashanah as well. Yom Kippur is the only holiday where we don't have a Suda. Why? Because we can't. Because it's Yom Kippur. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says that the whole reason why we have a Mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur is because that is the Suda of Yom Kippur. Because we can't eat on air. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Very good. Thank you. So the Rabbeinu Yonah is explaining to us that the whole purpose of us requirement to eat on Erev Yom Kippur is in order for us to fulfill the mitzvah of Sudas Yontif of Yom Kippur. And because of the fact that we can't eat on Yom Kippur because we are required to fast, as the Torah tells us, therefore, in order to give us the mitzvah of still having the suda of eating on Yom Kippur, we have a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So if you look at just at based off the Rabbeinu Yonah, that would mean that when do we generally have the suda before Yom Kippur on Erev Yom Kippur? We have it the beginning of the day, middle of the day, end of the day. When do we do it? We do it generally do it at the end of the day, right before we want to do it before Yom Kippur, because we want to get as much food in so we could be ready to go. We have the suda. Very good. The suda is generally right before Yom Kippur. So that suda, according to the Rabbeinu Yonah, is the main part of the mitzvah of eating throughout Erev Yom Kippur, is fulfilling that suda, because that suda is the not only a suda for before you fast, that is the suda of Yom Kippur. That is as if we had a meal in the middle of the day right after Musaf on Yom Kippur. That suda that we had that night is constituted as the same thing. So those are the three approaches as to the purpose of this mitzvah. So we have Rashi, who says that the reason why we fast is because, the reason why we eat on Erev Yom Kippur is because we want to be able to prepare ourselves for the fast and give us the strength to be able to fast well on Yom Kippur. Then we have the Meiri, who tells us, we have the Shibul Eleket, who tells us the whole purpose of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is to make the fast harder because we stuffed ourselves so much that we're not going to feel so well. And then we have the Rabbeinu Yonah, who says the whole purpose of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is so we could have the fulfillment of the Suda of Yom Kippur itself, because we can't do it on Yom Kippur, therefore we do it on Erev Yom Kippur. Another fascinating idea that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who in the 20th century, he was the big Rav in Yerushalayim, he tells a story of this guy that came over to him and started complaining to him that we have this mitzvah that when we put on our shoes in the morning, we're supposed to put on our right foot first, then our left foot, then we tie the left shoe, then we tie the right shoe. So he goes to Rav Shlomo Zalman and he complains to Rav Shlomo Zalman. I don't understand. Like, Judaism is so tedious. It's so much details. Why do I have to... Who cares how I put my shoes on? Why does God care if I put my right foot shoe on first and my left shoe on second and tie the left and then tie the right? Why does God care? So Rav Shlomo Zalman explains that no, it's the opposite. It's not that Hashem cares about the details. Rather, Hashem knows you're going to put your shoes on in the morning anyways. He's giving you a free mitzvah just by putting on your right shoe first, your left shoe second, and tying your left and then tying your right. That's a free mitzvah that Hashem's giving you. So Rav Shlomo Zalman explains that this is the same idea with Yom Kippur, with Erev Yom Kippur. Eating on Erev Yom Kippur, everyone's going to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Why? Because we can't eat on Yom Kippur. So who's not going to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Everybody. Everyone wants to eat a little bit because they know the next day I have to fast. So it's a free mitzvah. So Hashem's pretty much giving us this opportunity to go ahead and eat. And any time you put food in your mouth, it's considered as if a mitzvah, which is a nice idea of Shlomo Zalman. Yes. Oh, okay. Okay, so now within the three ideas, we had Rashi, who says it was because of the fact that we want to prepare ourselves to fast to give us strength. Then we had the Shibul Eleket, who says that we want to go ahead and make the fast harder, so we eat a lot on Erev Yom Kippur. And then we finally have Rabbeinu Yonah, who says that we need to have the eat a lot on Erev Yom Kippur, so we have the Suda of Yom Kippur on Erev Yom Kippur. So within that, we have now a bunch of understandings about what this means. So the Kassav Sofer and Rabbi Akiva Eiger asked the question, what happens if there's this woman that's pregnant, and or there's this child that's sick, or someone, not child, let's say someone that's of age to fast, and they're sick, and they're not able to fast on Yom Kippur. So do they get the, if they eat on Erev Yom Kippur, do they get the mitzvah of eating? Meaning, is the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur connected directly to the mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur itself, or not? That's the question. So they answer that we have the basic approach between Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah. So Rashi, if you want to hold like Rashi, that the whole purpose of the mitzvah of Erev Yom Kippur is to give you the strength to fast on Yom Kippur itself. So therefore, if someone's not going to fast on Yom Kippur because they're sick or because they're pregnant and they can't or for whatever reason, then they won't get a mitzvah of eating on Yom Kippur itself because of the fact that they can't because of the fact that what are they preparing for? They're anyways going to eat on Yom Kippur. That's Rashi, and also Shibul Eleket will say the same thing, because Shibul Eleket said that if the whole purpose of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is to make us sick, so therefore we won't feel so well and make the fast even harder for us. So that would be also a no go. If we hold like Rabbeinu Yonah, however, that the whole purpose of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is to fulfill the mitzvah of the Suda of Yom Kippur itself, then that just because they're not fasting, they can still fulfill the obligation of the Suda of the mitzvah itself. However, Rabbi Akiva Eiger then brings down from that with Rabbeinu Yonah, not so fast. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that if you're going to say that with Rabbeinu Yonah, that you would get the mitzvah because you're fulfilling the Suda, if it's a woman, I'm not so sure if that would be the case, because women aren't obligated in mitzvahs, asei she'ezman grama, in time-bound mitzvahs. That's why women don't have to go ahead and sit in the sukkah. They have no, they don't. If it's raining, women could go ahead and leave, and men on the first night will probably have to stay because they have an obligation to eat in the sukkah because of the time-bound mitzvah. Whereas women aren't obligated in that. So therefore, if you have women wouldn't be obligated in this mitzvah asei she'ezman grama. So therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, I'm not so sure if you could say that according to Rabbeinu Yonah's idea that the Suda of Erev Yom Kippur is the mitzvah, whether or not the women are obligated in the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur and whether or not they will get that mitzvah as well, which is an interesting idea just of understanding what the whole idea behind this mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is all about. And another idea that we have, Rav Tzvi Engel points out, that this machlokus between Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah would be whether or not we would be obligated to eat bread and meat on Erev Yom Kippur or not. Because if you hold like Rashi, that all that matters is I'm supposed to just prepare myself for the fast, then who cares what you eat? You can eat whatever you want. You could eat whatever it is that you generally eat before a fast. Like you eat pasta. Some people like to eat pasta. Some people like to eat carbs or other things, like just to stuff up and make themselves full. So you could go ahead and eat that. But if you hold like Rabbeinu Yonah, that it's because of the Suda of Yontif, therefore we have to have bread and we have to have meat, and we have to have just like a regular Suda on Yontif where we sit down and we're gonna wash on challah, and we're gonna have some chicken, and we're gonna have some deli or cholent, that you would have to do the same thing on Erev Yom Kippur as well, which is another interesting idea of trying to understanding what's the difference between what's the purpose of this mitzvah. Okay, so now we're going to change gears now to understand if whether or not this mitzvah is a biblical commandment or if it's a rabbinical commandment. Is it a mitzvah d'oraisa or is it a mitzvah d'rabbanan? So we have in source 9, we have the Rambam. So just the background of the Rambam. So if a person says that there's two types of ways that person could swear. It's called a neder or a shvua. A neder, or this is like either swears or vows. A neder is a shvua is when a person goes ahead and says, I will not eat matzah on Pesach, meaning they're focusing on themselves. I will not eat matzah on Pesach. So they have an obligation to eat matzah on Pesach. However, at the same time, they're making they're swearing that they will not eat matzah. So therefore, this question is whether or not can a person then say, well, because I swore that I won't eat matzah on Pesach, therefore I'm not obligated to eat matzah on Pesach. Or not. So because of the fact he has two things going against him, you understand? Because he has one thing, he's saying, I have an obligation, Hashem commanded me to eat matzah on Pesach. At the same time, he also swore that he won't eat matzah on Pesach. However, because we have a biblical commandment that's going against it, that we have to eat matzah on Pesach, a shvua, where it's on yourself, on the person, that you can't do. However, a neder, if a person says, matzah is forbidden to me, meaning he's focusing on the matzah, that you can do for a biblical commandment. However, for a rabbinical commandment, like let's say a person says, I will not go ahead, the Megillah of Esther is forbidden to me to hear, which is a rabbinical commandment, because as we know, Megillah's Esther and the story of Purim came after, was enacted by the rabbis in Persia. So therefore, that commandment, that person won't be allowed to do. Why? Because the rabbis were more strict that people will be laxed in the mitzvos that were rabbinic. Because people will say, oh, the rabbis just said it. Who cares? It's not written in the Torah, it's just what the rabbis. So therefore, even though, generally speaking, on a biblical level, if a person makes a neder and says, matzah is forbidden to me, then he will not be allowed to eat matzah on Pesach. When a person will say, let's say that hearing the Megillah is forbidden to me, that he can't do, that because the rabbis were more strict. Okay, so now we understand the background, now we can understand this Rambam, to see if he understands this mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur, whether or not it is a mitzvah that's biblical or rabbinic. So we look at the Rambam in source 9. The Rambam says, Hanoder sheyatzom b'shabes o b'yom tov chayev litzom, she'hanedarim chalim al divrei mitzvah kemoshe baranu. If someone goes ahead and makes a neder, meaning again on the actual the object itself, like he says that Shabbos, eating on Shabbos is forbidden to me, that the person will be obligated to fast on Shabbos. Generally, you're not supposed to fast on Shabbos. We said before that the only time when a person's allowed to fast on Shabbos was when? This year we're going to have it on Yom Kippur. Why? Because we said that Yom Kippur is referred to as Shabbos Shabbason, the Shabbos of all Shabboses. So therefore, that's the reason why we're allowed to fast. But if a person goes ahead and makes a ned there that wants to go ahead and fast on Shabbos itself, he's allowed. We say that he is obligated to fast because he made it as a neder, not as a shvua. And then it says, "Shenadim chalim al divrei mitzvah kmo shebaranu." B'cheina neder sheyisom yom rishon or yom shlishi koyam alef ufega bo yom zeharehu yom tov o erev yom kippurim harizeh chayev litzom. If a person goes ahead and says, he makes a neder that every single Sunday and Tuesday he will fast. He says that the entire year, every single Sunday and it says Yom Rishon and Yom Shlishi, every single Sunday and Tuesday he fasts. So what happens if Erev Yom Kippur falls out on Sunday or Tuesday? This year it falls out on Friday, but there are times where Yom Kippur could fall out on Monday or could fall out on Thursday. So a person goes ahead and makes that ned there. So what is it? Is he allowed to fast on Yom Kippur or on Erev Yom Kippur, or is he not allowed? Again, because he has this mitzvah that he is obligated to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, which is going against his ned there that he's not allowed to eat on Sunday or Tuesday. So the question is whether or not he's allowed to go ahead and do that. So the Rambam says that he is allowed to fast on Erev Yom Kippur. Right? So that would mean that the Rambam holds that eating on Erev Yom Kippur is a mitzvah that's deoraisa, a biblical commandment. Because if it was a rabbinical commandment, then the rabbis would have been more strict and says, even though, generally speaking, a neder, when someone swears on an object that he wants to, that he's not going to do something for a mitzvah, that's considered that he can't go ahead and do it. Here he says that you can. However, the Rambam says that chayev litzom ve'ein tzarech lomar rosh chodesh pega bo chanuk v'purim yidche nidorim hipnei hayom ha'elu ho v'itzer asom v'hem me divrei sofrim. When it comes to chanuk and purim, which are rabbinical commandments, if someone swears, let's say that he's not going to eat on Sunday and Tuesday, when it comes to Hanukkah and Purim, he has to eat. Why? Because those are rabbinical times. Those are rabbinical commandments. So it appears from the Rambam that he holds that eating on Yom Kippur, on Erev Yom Kippur, is a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's a biblical commandment. As in Source 10, if you turn the page, the Radbaz, who was David ben Shlomo Zimra. He was in the 15th to 16th century. He was the rabbi for 40 plus years in Egypt. So he comments on the Rambam that he says that Sofer Rabbeinu she'aser lesenos be'erev Yom Kippurim min haTorah. That it has to be that you're forbidden to fast on Erev Yom Kippur, and you have an obligation to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, must be a biblical commandment, which is striking. That means that's a big deal. That means that any food that we put in our mouth on Erev Yom Kippur would be as if we're doing something that's min haTorah. That's a big mitzvah. And the Mishnah Berurah in Source 11, who is Rabbi Shmuel Meir Kagan, who was the rabbi in Radin, who famously is referred to as the Chavetz Chaim, he lived in the 19th to 20th century. He says in Source 11, the Siv Anisem es Naso Sheichem b'Tishah L'Chodesh b'Erev Hayal Lo L'Chto b'Tishah L'Chodesh b'Erev Ta'anu es Naso Sheichem Ara Erev Miksiv Anisem. Right, he's bringing down that generally, right, remember we discussed this at the beginning, we would assume based off the pasuk that we would have to go ahead and fast on the ninth of Tishrei on the Erev Yom Kippur. But he says no, we darshan out just like in the Gemara the opposite. We darshan out that you're supposed to eat. And he says that Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu in Schar Biyara Chila Kilu Hisanu She'enu Dome Mitzvah She'esh Bo Tzar Kemo Shamaru Lefom Tzara Agra Elu. Right? He's taking Mishnah Berurah. The Chavetz Chaim is taking sides with Rashi. He's saying that the whole reason why we're obligated to fast to eat on Erev Yom Kippur is because Hashem's giving us, we're gonna eat anyways. And not only that, we want to have the strength to go into the fast of Yom Kippur. So our Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving us this special mitzvah to go ahead and eat as well. And furthermore, the Mishnah Berurah points out we're not going to keep reading it, that that based off this, that it must be also a mitzvah that is a biblical commandment, a mitzvah d'oraisa. And it's very interesting, if you look at source 12, the Magen Avraham, who was Rav Avraham Gabiner, he lived in the 17th century, he was a Rav in Poland, and he comments on the Shulchan Aruch. He takes this idea that eating on Erev Yom Kippur is a biblical commandment and takes it to the nth degree. He says that it's so much is it a mitzvah. If you look at source 12, look at the words. It says, V'yesh l'ma'at bilimodo be'erev Yom Kippurim k'dei l'achov v'lishtos. He says that it's such a big mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur that not only is it a biblical commandment, but a person should not learn less Torah on Erev Yom Kippur. Why? So they could get more time to eat. Which is, that's striking. That means that it's such a great mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur that we shouldn't even try to put it. If we, let's say, we generally learn for an hour a day, only learn for a half hour, just so you get another half hour of eating in. That's amazing, no? So that the Magen Avraham wants to say that this mitzvah is so wonderful that you should go ahead and take it even further. So based off this, we have many people who, I guess based off maybe what the Magen Avraham was saying, or even based off how the Mishnah Berurah, or how we paskin that we have this obligation to eat, we have some people like Rav Yisrael Salanter, who came up with this minhag. Rav Yisrael Salanter was the founder of the Musar movement, and he was a big Rav that was the Rav of Salant in the 19th century in Lithuania. So he says that he had this minhag, and I guess some of his Talmidim and Hasidim also followed him, that they would go ahead on Erev Yom Kippur, they would walk around, and in their mouth would be a sucking candy the entire day. They would constantly be popping sucking candies or Tic Tacs or whatever food they had in the 19th century that they were sucking on. So he would constantly do that. Why? Because if it's such a great mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, so great that even the Magen Avraham says that we should learn less on Erev Yom Kippur. Why? So we could go ahead and eat. Then let me go ahead and suck on a candy, and I'll be eating the entire day. And I'm constantly getting a mitzvah. Every second I'm getting a mitzvah. But the Chazon Ish, who was the Rav in Belarus in the 20th century, Rav Avraham Yisrael Karolitz, he didn't like that idea. Why? Because of the very idea between the machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah as to why we have the purpose of this mitzvah to begin with. According to Rashi, what? It was because we want to go ahead and prepare ourselves for the fast. So Chazon Ish says, you're telling me by eating, sucking on a candy, that's preparing you for a fast? No, not. You're not, a normal person, if let's say he's about to go ahead and fast, he's going to be like, oh, let me get one more Tic Tac in my mouth before the fast. No, person's going to drink a glass of water, he's going to go ahead and maybe eat one more loaf of bread to get himself stuffed up for the fast. So no, there's no way. Even the Shiboy Aleket, who says that the whole purpose is to make the fast harder, you're not going to suck on a candy to make and that's going to be able to all of a sudden make you have the mitzvah now go ahead and make the fast harder. And if you hold according to Rabbeinu Yonah, that the whole purpose of the obligation to eat on Erev Yom Kippur is to have the suda of Yom Kippur on Erev Yom Kippur, then correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think anybody sits down for a Shabbos meal and they eat some sucking candies and that's their Shabbos meal. No, most people, when they're sitting down for a Shabbos meal, they have the bread, they have the deli, they have the cholent, they have the chicken, they have the kugel, they got a whole gazunta meal going on. They're not going to head and just sucking on candies. So there's no way that's the mitzvah. So the Chazon Ish didn't like this mitzvah of Rav Yisrael Salanter and others that say that you should just go ahead and suck on a candy the entire day. Okay, so now I just wanted to put in finally this tour, who discusses at the very end in source 13 the parameters behind this halakha again, which we mainly discussed together. But if you go turn the page to the last page, he says a fascinating, and generally speaking, when the Torah, who was Rav Yaakov ben the Rush, Rabbeinu Usher, he lived in Spain in the 13th century. So he wrote this sefer called the Bala Turim, which is also, he was a Rishon, and this Sefer was where the Shulchan Aruch, which Rav Yosef Cairo compiled, which is the book that we, pretty much the magnum opus, which we follow as our guide to halacha, is based off the Torah. And he wrote this whole Sefer pretty much going through every single halacha, every single Jewish law that we hold like. So when someone wants to explain halacha, they'll explain it, just tell you what the law is. He's not going to go ahead and go into tell you some fancy story or anything like that. So it's very uncharacteristically, the Torah comes ahead, and when he's explaining this law of eating on Erev Yom Kippur, he goes ahead and he tells a story. So let's read this story together, because it's very fascinating. If you look where it's underlined in the last page of your packet, he says, Umevi b'midrash, ma'isa b'shoter ha'ir, she'amar le'eved, kanali dagim. So this governor went and he sent his servant. He says, "I want to go buy me a fish. Go to the marketplace and buy me a fish." V'lo matza ela dag echad. And he went to the marketplace and the fisherman only had one fish left. So v'nasan bo'zov. So he's like, "Okay, how much is the fish worth?" He tells him it's worth $1. So he goes ahead and he's ready to pay him $1. V'haya sham Yehudi chayit v'hosiv alav ad shehelu l'chamisha. All of a sudden, this Jewish tailor comes along and he outbids this servant and says, "How that fish is worth $1? I'll give you $5 for it." And he pays $5, and the one fish that's left in the marketplace, this Jewish tailor outbids this servant of the governor. Right, so he left the tailor in the marketplace, and the Eved returned to his master. So he told him everything that happened. He said, "This guy, this tailor came along, and he outbid me $5 for this $1 fish." And the governor questioned him and saying, "Why didn't you outbid him?" He says, "Why would I buy a fish that's worth only $1 or $5? I thought that would be crazy. The governor wouldn't want that." So the governor went ahead and he seeked to find where this tailor was living. So he found him. V'amarlo, ma malachtecha. He goes, what are you doing? Why did you buy this fish that's worth $1 for $5? Amarlo, chayit, amarlo. Balama Kanisa Dag Shavazov Behezuhuvim. He says, "I understand. It doesn't make sense that you would buy this dog that's worth $1 for $5. Flowod, Ella Shalakhtu Miyad Abdi Shall Shalakhtu the closely, Heshivli Vayecha Loakna Afilu Be Esir Kedela Chobiyom Kizet Sivano Akarish Barhu Lakovishtos. Vishanu Bituchim Akarishbochu Kaperlana Vanasek Anavosenu." So the tailor goes back to the governor and says, "Not only am I happy that I bought this $1 fish for $5? I would have bought this fish for $10." And the governor's a little confused. $10? You pay for a dollar fish. Why would you pay $10? You already got ripped off paying $5. You would even pay $10 for it? And the tailor responds to him that I would have paid $10 because I'm using this fish. Why? To eat of the suda of Erev Yom Kippur. Because the eating on Erev Yom Kippur is such a great mitzvah that I want to go ahead and do it. Why? Shanu betuchim shekadosh baruch hu yechaper lanu avonoseinu. So he wanted to go ahead and say that. Why? Because the suda of Erev Yom Kippur, that is the suda, like Rabbeinu Yonah was saying, of Yom Kippur itself. So since that is the suda of Yom Kippur itself, that is the day that Hashem atones us from all our sins. I would pay whatever it wants for whatever that fish costs. I would pay $10 even for that fish. So it's a very nice story, and it's a very nice way how the Torah is explaining this halacha, that if you want to go ahead and that you want to go above and beyond even for eating on this mitzvah of Erev Yom Kippur, such a great mitzvah. However, Rav Yosef Naftali Tzvi Schlesinger writes in his Sefer Birchas Harai, says this story is very nice. However, I have one question about this story. Why did the Torah go out of his way to say that this Jew was a tailor? Who cares that he was a tailor? And he keeps on quoting him. It's Chayat. Chayat Omer Lo. Chayat. Why couldn't he just say Yehudi? Why couldn't he say he was a Jew? There has to be some reasoning why the Torah, when he was giving this story, went ahead and used the word tailor. So he explains this is beautiful. He explains beautifully, and this will close. He explains that any time a person fulfills our mitzvah, they are making themselves, and they do a mitzvah with their entire heart, and they do it really with the right intentions and the right kavana. Anytime you do it, you made a beautiful beged, a beautiful clothing for your neshama. That just like we our bodies need clothes, so too our neshama needs clothes. And anytime we do a mitzvah, we are giving our neshama clothes. So, what happens though when we do a mitzvah and we don't do it with the right intentions? Not only with the right intentions, we don't do it in the right way. We're not even thinking what we're doing, or we didn't do it besimcha. We didn't do it with our full heart. So there, he says that means that the beged, the cloth that we're supposed to make for our neshama, is only half, or a little bit, part of it is missing. And that furthermore, he says that when a person sins, they tear some of the clothes that they made for the neshama. So their neshama, that's supposed to be wrapped in a beautiful cloth, when we head into Yom Kippur, it's torn a little bit from the sins that we did, and it's missing some from the times that we did mitzvos and we didn't do it with full hearts. So he says that this is the reason why the Torah uses a tailor. Because what does a tailor do? A tailor spends his day sewing up clothes. So what do we do on heading into Yom Kippur, or even on Yom Kippur itself? We want to remove all our sins. We want to atone ourselves from everything we did wrong. So what we're doing, spiritually, we all are tailors. We all are sewing up any rips that we made in our clothes, and we're sewing up any of our clothing that has halves in it, and wrapping ourselves in a full, big, beautiful, beautiful clothing that's wrapped around in our neshama, and all of Klal Yisrael is doing it together, and we're wrapping it, all of our neshamas, and therefore that is considered the atonement on Yom Kippur, is us going ahead and sewing and being tailors and sewing up our clothes all together. So that, he explains why the Torah uses the idea in this story as the tailor. So, Yiratzon, it may be Hashem's will that this Yom Kippur should be one where we have a true kapara, and we should all be able to sew up all our atonements, and all of Klal Yisrael should be able to sew up all their atonements and to wrap ourselves into one giant cloth, and we should be able to be zocheh to have the Beis HaMikdash come b'mehir b'yameinu. Amen.